Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The End of Burnout: Why Work Drains Us and How to Build Better Lives is a nonfiction book by Jonathan Malisik that examines burnout as a cultural, moral, and spiritual problem rather than only a personal one. Drawing on his own experience as a former tenured professor who burned out and left academia, Malisik combines memoir, social criticism, philosophy, religion, and ethics to explain why so many people feel exhausted, alienated, and trapped by work. The book argues that modern work culture asks jobs to provide dignity, meaning, and identity, yet work often cannot meet those expectations. Instead of offering a narrow productivity fix, Malisik asks readers to rethink the place of work in human life and to imagine a broader vision of flourishing that includes leisure, compassion, and dignity beyond paid labor. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, burnout as a mismatch between ideals and reality at work. Malisik's central claim is that burnout grows from the distance between what people hope work will give them and what work actually delivers. Many workers are taught to expect dignity, purpose, social belonging, and even moral worth from their jobs. When the daily reality is repetitive tasks, administrative pressure, insecurity, or a lack of control, that gap produces exhaustion, cynicism, and a sense of emptiness. This framing matters because it shifts burnout away from being understood only as overwork or weak coping. The problem is not simply that individuals are failing to manage stress well enough. The deeper issue is that work has been asked to carry demands it cannot reliably satisfy. By identifying this mismatch, Malisik explains why burnout often persists even when people rest, change habits, or try self-help remedies. The source of the strain is structural and cultural, not merely personal. Secondly, the long history of burnout reveals that modern language hides older moral anxieties. One of the book's strongest moves is historical. Malisik shows that concern about exhaustion at work is not new, even if the modern term burnout is. He traces older ways of naming similar experiences, including ancient ideas such as melancholia, which treated profound exhaustion as an ailment of the soul. This historical lens helps readers see burnout as part of a longer debate about work, human worth, and suffering. Rather than presenting burnout as a purely contemporary medical label, he places it within centuries of thought about labor and dignity. That perspective also reveals how present-day culture has transformed work from a means of livelihood into a source of identity and moral self-judgment. The result is that workers can interpret ordinary limits as personal failure. Malisik uses history not as decoration, but as evidence that today's burnout crisis is tied to durable human questions about purpose, obligation, and the boundaries of work. Thirdly, why work ethic language can turn dignity into martyrdom. Malisik critiques the common belief that work should prove a person's value. In his account, the modern work ethic does not merely encourage responsibility and contribution. It can also produce destructive ideals of constant availability, self-sacrifice, and martyrdom. People come to believe that worth must be earned through productivity and visible suffering. That belief makes it difficult to recognize ordinary human needs such as rest, care, and limits. The book argues that this moral pressure intensifies burnout because it encourages people to blame themselves when work becomes unbearable. Instead of asking whether a job or a system is asking too much, workers may conclude that they are insufficiently resilient. Malisik's analysis is important because it shows how ethical language can be misused. Values, like commitment and discipline, become harmful when they are detached from human limits. He is not rejecting responsibility. He is challenging the idea that endless labor is the proper route to dignity or goodness. Fourthly, alternative lives show that flourishing does not have to center on employment to counter the dominance of burnout culture. Malisik looks at examples of people and communities that organize life differently. He includes cases such as Benedictine monks with limited work hours, disabled artists who respect bodily limits, and organizations that try to place care for coworkers and community ahead of productivity. These examples are not presented as universal models to copy exactly. Instead, they function as proof that human life can be arranged around values other than career, ambition, and performance. The point is to widen the reader's imagination. If some people can live meaningfully without treating work as the center of identity, then the assumption that all fulfillment must come through employment is weakened. This section of the book is especially useful because it moves from diagnosis to possibility. It shows that a less exhausting life is not only about better individual habits, but also about building social arrangements that respect leisure, interdependence, and bodily limits. Lastly, a post-burnout vision grounded in universal dignity, compassion, and leisure, the book's constructive argument is that overcoming burnout requires a new vision of the good life. Malisik believes dignity should not depend on earning status through paid labor, and compassion should take priority over productivity. In this vision, leisure is not wasted time but part of human flourishing because it allows for reflection, relationships, and activities that are not measured by output. This is a major departure from many books on burnout that focus on time management, mindfulness, or temporary recovery strategies. Mlesic suggests that such approaches may help at the margins, but they do not solve the deeper cultural problem. His proposal is therefore both practical and philosophical. People need boundaries, but they also need a different framework for judging themselves and others. The book's final value lies in connecting personal exhaustion to broader questions about labor, dignity, and social imagination, making it more than a self-help diagnosis. In conclusion, The End of Burnout is best suited for readers who want a serious reflective account of why work culture feels so draining and why standard advice often falls short. It will be especially valuable to people experiencing burnout, professionals thinking about career identity, managers interested in workplace culture, and readers who enjoy books that connect personal experience with philosophy, religion, and social critique. Its practical benefit is not a checklist of quick fixes, but a clearer way to understand why exhaustion, cynicism, and despair can persist even after rest or therapy. Its intellectual benefit is that it reframes burnout as a problem of meaning, dignity, and cultural expectations rather than only stress management. What makes the book stand out in its category is its unusual scope and tone. Instead of treating burnout as an individual weakness or a productivity challenge, Mlesic argues for a broader reordering of values. That makes the book more searching than most workplace self-help titles and more accessible than many academic critiques of labor. If you would like to support Jonathan Mlesic, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.